I turn to Psalm 63. If you'd like to go along with me. Psalm 63. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. That's Psalm 63:3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus shall I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Let's pray. Lord, help us today to draw near to you, to hear your word, to be touched by it. Lord, we pray for every soul within the sound of our voice. If they're not saved, they would be saved. And Lord, we pray for all of us that we would learn to praise and worship you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
An interesting psalm. That phrase, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know what you need to do? You need to be praising the Lord.
Amen.
If somebody's giving you a nice gift, you ought to thank them. And you ought to be thanking God all the time.
Amen.
Because he's given you a bunch of wonderful gifts.
Right.
And his loving kindness, thinking about that, just the phrase there, thy loving kindness is better than life. I don't know much better than life. All of my joys, all of my pleasures, a lot of my thinking, all has to do with life. Man, I'm alive, and I'm seeing this world, and I'm watching all the inventions that come up and that frustrate me.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'm pre-television. That dates me. I want to talk to you a little bit about praise and praise to God. It's something that you ought to be doing. If God lets you live this long, you ought to praise him.
Amen.
If God gave you children or a marriage or a job or you created a bench in the backyard, you did something. Something that ought to give you pleasure. Wow. You ought to praise God.
Amen, amen, amen.
Actually, over the years, I've been in this church an awful long time, but you've always sung pretty good. We don't have any big fancy leaders. We just got somebody to call out a few verses and sing out. And then on our night meetings and the ones that we go to on Sunday night and Wednesday night, well, you call out the ones that we sing. We might sing three, we might sing six, we might sing seven or what. We don't know. And I have had over the years, several times, a visitor come up to me, knowing I was the pastor, and say, how do you get them to sing like that? I don't know if you've visited lots of churches, but lots of churches have very low singing, very quiet singing. When we used to travel and make vacations, we'd take a couple of weeks. On each Sunday morning, we would go to a church somewhere. And I had to quit singing because I was too loud. People are turning around. You know, I'm sitting in the back row back there. And they're turning around looking, who's this disturbing the music here?
Yeah, amen.
And I was just having a good time, and I was pretty well on key, all right. One time, I was a full-time evangelist for several years. And one time I'd preached about 6 weeks straight without a week off. Sometimes 4 times a day. And I ruined my vocal cords, but I didn't know what and how and whatever. So I went to a specialist, a throat specialist, a vocal cord specialist. And what he told me to do was to whisper for a week or two. And you know something? It was hilarious after a while. I would whisper. And they would whisper back. It got to be a joke. It really got to be a joke. I was not supposed to use my vocal cords in any way for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember exactly how long it was. And so I'm whispering to people and they're whispering back to me. I thought it was pretty funny. Anyway, I thought about worship. We want to worship the Lord. We want to praise Him. We want to thank Him. We want to be a blessing to Him because He's been a blessing to us. And I got to thinking about worship and how we don't have a lot of getting on your knees and bending and whatever, a lot of things. Our worship is in the singing. Did you hear those songs?
Yeah.
Praise to God.
Amen.
For great salvation.
Right.
Man, we're rejoicing because God's saved our soul.
Amen.
And He gave it to us as a gift.
Right.
I don't deserve any of the blessings that I have received, and you don't either, by the way. Our praise, someone asked me that, as I said, how did we get them to sing? I said, basically, they're singing what they want. And that's pretty well true here, most of our night meetings. You're singing old hymns, which, by the way, is real good doctrine, set to music and rhyme. That's a pretty good way to do it. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Wow. Have you experienced God's love?
Amen.
I've experienced God's love.
Amen.
God came to me, moved upon me. I always believed in God. I was raised in a Christian family. We were basically a Sunday morning church Christian family. Went to Sunday school and preaching Sunday morning. And then we didn't go back to the church anytime during the week. I go to the church a whole lot more now than I did then. But you know, I believed in the Lord. Once I got saved and I understood that Jesus paid my debt when I didn't love Him at all.
Right. Amen.
That He paid for my sins when I could not pay for my sins.
Amen.
For me to pay for my sins, I would lose everything. Well, you hear those songs we sang this morning? Did you hear any doctrine in them?
Yeah.
You bet you did.
Yeah.
That's the kind we sing.
Yeah.
And so these people would ask me, why, how do you do it? I said, well, first of all, they're singing songs they like. Not that it just some other person picked out for them, but somebody loved that song. They loved the words that were in there. They loved the thought that was there. They liked the poetry in it. And that's what you got in the book of Psalms right here. Psalm 63. David was a poet, but he was also a musician. And he was an inventor of musical instruments. He was also a soldier. Man, he was a great hero. Killing, even being willing to walk in a yard of Goliath, good night. He was as big as these walls. That's how tall he was. I don't know how many pounds he weighed, but that was a big, strong man. And I never did like to fight a guy bigger than me. Did you? No, because thy loving kindness is better than life, we found out something in God.
Amen.
This is a beautiful verse. This has some real teaching in there that would humble you and bless you, and that you ought to think about. And you ought to be praising God every day.
Amen.
You ought to be thanking God. Have you prayed a little prayer and had the little prayer answered? Did you give God any thanks?
Right.
David was good to thank God all the time. He was always thanking God. And the Psalms, actually, in 1 Chronicles 23:30, the Levites, who had to take care of the tent of the tabernacle. Well, after it got into one place, they put them to singing. And it says in 23:30 of 1 Chronicles, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even.
Amen.
How about that?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, we've got a group of men that are their business is to praise God. Their business is to rejoice. And they sing it out for the people out here. Some of you can't carry a tune in a bucket.
Amen.
And that's all right. We've got a few people around here that can sing pretty well, I'll tell you for sure. One of the things we did in my house, I had two skilled musicians in my house, my father and my sister. And my dad had a way of taking and putting out the parts, the different parts in a song. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That was, and it was a Stamps Baxter Quartet that taught that in country churches all over this nation. They would teach them how to sing these things. And we would sometimes do that, and like I said, before television. And I had a neighbor that would call the police on us if we were singing and playing after 10 o'clock. In those days, all your windows are open. You have a house with a lot of windows, and they were all open because we didn't have any air conditioning. In fact, I bought the first fan for our house by being sent to town by my mother on the bus. At night in San Antonio, my bed is up against the wall and the wind is open and I'm praying for a breeze. It wasn't air conditioning. You ought to be thanking God for air conditioning.
Amen.
You ought to be thanking God for an automobile to get you around. You ought to be thanking God that you had a meal today, because there's a lot of people out there that didn't have a meal today. And oh, this wars that we have today. Goodness, there's wars all over the world. And there are people that are just crazy enough to start it and make it worse. Thank God you're not in that place. Anyway, every morning we thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. You know, that'd be an awful good thing for you to do, make a habit. You ought to put some good habits in your life.
Amen.
How about thanking God every day?
Amen.
Don't forget now. Don't get up too quick and go out and then not have the Lord bless that meeting and not bless that work, bless that drive to work. Every morning, thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Psalm 119:164 said, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. You trust God. You believe God. You've read that book. And you know it's true.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. You ought to be praising God for the knowledge that you have from that book.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the book that blessed me all my life. Psalm 119:108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The free will offerings of my mouth. Don't you think that you ought to thank God?
Yes, sir.
You think you ought to think of the words, you know, open up your mouth, let your mind work, and see if you couldn't thank God for all the blessings you've got. By the way, why don't you try counting your blessings?
Amen.
I hear a lot of people complaining and griping. Oh, they got a problem. Well, how about counting the blessings and see if you're blessed, more blessed than you're problematic?
Amen. Amen.
Do you talk to God? You ought to.
Amen.
Just a little talk. Just a little talk with God.
Amen.
And by the way, you don't have to get on your knees and you don't have to close your eyes. Pray while you're driving.
Amen.
Praise God while you're driving. Then you won't get so mad at all the people that are around you. You won't try to run them off the road. The free will offerings of my mouth. Can you turn loose of your thoughts and walk into the presence of God and fellowship? Man, we've got all sorts of promises.
Amen.
You've got the blessing of the Holy Spirit in you forever.
Amen.
He's not going to just enter into you one of these days. If you're saved, He's already there.
Right.
He is in us, our abode. He's our abode. The free will offerings of my mouth. Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Some of you have a harder time praising anybody except yourself.
Yeah.
How about praising God?
Amen.
Can you listen to the news and see the inventions that have come out and see the creation of the world and see all of these intricate, oh, so complicated creation that God gave? I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me think less. It makes me think greater of God.
Right.
Have you thought about all of the animals? Have you thought about birth and death? Good night. And the astronomers now are all predicting the universe is just that much bigger. It was already too big.
Yeah.
Wow. What is God doing?
Right.
He's worth some thankfulness. He's worth for you showing some of your praise.
Amen.
Psalm 51:15, open thou my lips, my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Amen.
I have a second cousin, I think that's what you call him. But he's down right now, and he's got such a bad attitude. He's just, every time I talk to him, he's complaining. He's griping about this and that, and he's about the same age as I am. And I tried to help him out. I tried to talk with him a little more. I don't think I did any good. But do you have anything to thank God for?
Amen.
Maybe you ought to practice it.
Great.
You might ought to practice going into the presence of God and just talking to him like you would talk to your husband or your
Amen.
Wife or your
Amen.
Boyfriend
Amen.
Or your girlfriend. And get in a conversation. Talk to the Lord. Bless the Lord. Brag on the Lord. Think about what God has done for you and how much He has blessed you.
Amen.
I am personally one of the most blessed people, I think, in the world. I have been blessed all my life.
Right.
I wasn't thrown away out of the side of a road. I was loved.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In 1936, you think they were looking for another baby to feed? That's the middle of the Depression. But I was loved. I was even told that some of my aunts carried me on their cotton sack while they were going through the fields picking cotton. I carried you back there. I ought to thank God that somebody cared for me when I was a little baby.
Amen.
Think about some of the babies that don't have any good care today.
Right.
Think about what some of the parents actually do to their own children.
Yeah, right.
Man, listening to the news is a real education. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. You didn't have a pitiful life like that? Well, praise God for
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Thank Him every day.
Right.
You got somebody that loves you, somebody that cares for you and cares about your opinion. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
You could thank Him because there are people that don't have what you have.
Right.
And the Bible tells us we ought to be praising Him.
Right.
In Psalm 33:1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Now that's one of those words that Brian was talking about. Comely. We don't generally use the word. You know what it means? Attractive. It does you well. If you said that a dress was comely upon a lady, well, you'd be making a compliment to her. And that's what he's saying right here. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. What is comely for saved people?
Praise.
Praise.
Amen.
Pray.
Not complaints about the government, not complaints about the television, not complaints about the church, not complaints about how long the preacher preached.
Right. Amen.
Praise is comely for the upright.
Amen.
Praise would improve what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And especially if you praise God, you can't praise Him too much.
Right.
You can't ever get around to how much He's done for you.
Right. Amen.
And wow, when I look back and I think, good night, just being alive till I'm 87 years old. Goodness gracious. 87 years? Wow. I ought to thank God that I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I ought to thank God that I'm still preaching.
Right.
I ought to thank God that I'm living by myself.
Amen.
I ought to thank God they're still letting me drive a car. They gave me a new license. Praise the Lord. I was worried about it. I was worried they were going to say, no, no, you're too old. We're not going to let you drive your car anymore. Praise is comely for the upright. How about doing something comely?
Right.
I know some of you want to gross us all out. You're going to tell us something that's just going to shock us. That's your pastime. And some of you are just good at griping. Oh, you are good at griping. How about being good at praise?
Amen. Amen.
I think you deserve to be good at praise.
Yeah. Amen.
I think you've had enough blessings already from God in your life that you ought to be thanking Him every day.
Amen.
And all this book is full of praise. I know David committed great sins. But he was also a great hero.
Amen.
And he was also a great praiser of God.
Amen.
Some of the Psalms that you have in the 150, it's listed in your Bible. This is a Psalm of David when he did this or that or whatever. And he wrote most of them. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, only commentary that he published was called the Book of David. And he thought that David wrote most of those Psalms, even ones that didn't have his name on. To write a Psalm is like writing on a musical, poetry type thing. One of the reasons why we like these songs that we sing so well is because they're poetic, is because they're set to music, is with we memorize them, and they lift our spirits.
Amen.
When I think of the salvation of God, I think of the forgiveness of sins. When I think of the turnaround in my life, and the turnaround in my children's lives and my grandchildren's lives and great-grandchildren, I thank God.
Amen. Yeah.
I praise God. He's so good, I don't know why I'm not better.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sir.
Praise is comely for the upright. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
In fact, verse 3 of Psalm 34 says, let us exalt His name together.
Amen.
That's what we were doing while we were singing, weren't we?
Amen.
We had a whole bunch of beautiful praise, excellent doctrine, and beauty.
Amen.
Musically. Wow. Those of you that are really musically talented, praise God for you. I really envy you in a sense. But you know, praise should be continually in my mouth.
Amen.
Instead of cussing, what about you trying praising?
Amen.
Instead of fussing about the other drivers, why don't you praise God that the sun rose today?
Yeah, amen.
Instead of complaining about everything that's wrong, why don't you thank God for what's right?
Amen. Amen.
Has God blessed you? You got on clean clothes today? Do you get to take a shower? You gonna have three meals today? Good night. You're blessed.
Amen.
And you're an American.
Amen.
You have the best life opportunity of all the people ever born since Adam. Wow. You've got machines to do the big heavy work for you. You've got cars to drive you around, airplanes to fly you, schools to teach your children. Wow, okay, so they've got some problems. We'll work on them.
Yeah, amen.
We don't have to stay with the same thing all the time. We can improve some things. Haven't things improved in your life in a lot of ways?
Amen.
Mine? Boy, I was reading about the big electrical that J.P. Morgan did at Niagara Falls. They cut a tunnel under solid rock for miles to transfer that water over Niagara Falls, going through that to run the generators of the first big electrical plant in the United States. I like my electricity.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat, man. It's pretty neat. Electricity is something else. Do I understand it? No, no. Have I worked on it? Yes, I've done a few things with it. But you know something? It's fascinating.
Amen.
The rest of the world is exactly that same way fascinating. You just might not have discovered it yet. All the different things with our eyes, can you imagine what comes out of your eyes right now, what they're capable of doing for you? How great a pleasure is that? You ought to thank God you can see.
Amen.
You ought to thank God for glasses, that they found out there's a way to help old people see. Wow. Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day."
Amen.
Hey, that'd change your day.
Yeah.
Some of you grumps.
Amen.
It'd change your day.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that? Look up Psalm 71:8 and put it on your refrigerator or on the dash of your car. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day.
Amen.
Look at verse 17 of Psalm 71. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth.
Amen.
The righteous cry and they don't think anybody's hearing.
Right.
They don't see that it's happening to them. But you got God looking in. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth. Verse 23 of Psalm 71, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee in my soul, which thou hast redeemed with my soul. Wow. I got something to thank God for every day of my life.
Amen.
Even on days when I'm in pain, even on days when I'm miserable, even on days when I'm tired. He's already saved my soul and changed my life. He's entered my life. Oh, he improved it when he went into it.
Amen.
Brother Brian, brother, bless his heart. Yes, we got changes. Sometimes they're tough. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. I'm just picking out a few verses for people. You ought to read the Psalms. It wouldn't do you some good.
Yes, amen.
It really would if you just read one or two Psalms a day along with some of your other reading. Get in the book every day and let it influence your mind.
Amen.
Amen.
You'd be amazed at what it might change.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to look at Acts 16:25, there's a story there that I want to speak to you about. Paul and Silas were street preachers. They were preachers that went in and went to maybe a park, and they might have sung a hymn or two or a psalm or two. And then they got up and preached. And what they were preaching was that Jesus Christ had come. God had come in the flesh, paid the debt for our sins.
Amen, Lord.
Went to the cross of Calvary for us.
Amen. Right.
And promised us eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And they were saying, It's true. And they're going to people who have all sorts of gods. Little paper gods, little iron gods, little rock gods. There's still a lot of them people around. That's not like God at all. That's not like God at all. God is a spirit.
Amen.
God is powerful.
Amen.
God is loving. When I was younger, I went regularly to Sunday school in a Methodist church. And I made a profession of faith at 11. It didn't change me much, but I did get a lot of verses memorized. I remember the Ten Commandments. And I was thinking, that's the way to get saved. You keep the commandments. And so I looked them up, memorized them, because of a Sunday school teacher. That made me convicted. I knew I didn't fulfill them as I ought to. Well, I got saved, and I memorized Jesus' two commandments. Instead of 10, he just gave us 2. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, everything. Absolutely everything. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Those 2 beat the 10. I'm still in trouble. You love your neighbor as yourself? You don't. You don't. You love God with all your heart? You don't. You don't. I'm guilty. I can never come before God with those commandments and know that is what real righteousness is and claim to be free and claim to be above sin. I'm a whole lot like you. You may not like that statement. But basically, when I view the world, I say, how's it going to affect me? Me.
Yeah.
How about my wife, my husband? How about my kids? How about my grandkids and great-grandkids? My church, my country. Wow, I'm filled with my.
Right.
You are too.
Yeah. Amen.
You can't get away from it. That just makes you guilty. You are a sinner and you need a Savior.
Yes. Amen.
And one of the reasons why Jesus came, not the only one, but one of them, was to save your soul.
Amen.
Change your life. I've heard the testimony of many of you. Yes, you now do not do what you did a long time ago. Well, Paul and Silas are preaching this, and they're preaching against idolatry. And the policeman got them, took them in, and gave them whips with a whip, lashes with a whip. As I understand it, in the Roman government, you could give a man 39 lashes, 40 was excessive. Paul, I think, said 5 times he suffered the whippings. And you know, he was not supposed to suffer because he was a Roman citizen, born a Roman citizen. He didn't have to buy it. Paul and Silas are preaching. They're picked up. They're beat up. They're roughed up by the police. They're carried in, thrown into jail. And you know something? They didn't cry and they didn't call for lawyers. They began to thank and praise God.
Amen.
Now you talk about a different kind of attitude and character.
Yeah. Amen.
They're not complaining to God that they just got 39 lashes with a whip across their bare back.
Yeah.
They're praising and thanking God in the midst of a prison.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's something. I'm sure I wouldn't have I wouldn't have done it like they did it. I would have been crying and complaining and I'm hurting and why did this happen to me? I didn't deserve this. And God, where were you?
Right.
That's not it. They're praising God and they're doing it aloud. The prisoners heard them. The jailer heard them. They're hearing these men openly praise God Almighty with 39 lashes on their back already. They're locked up in a prison. Look at Acts 16:25. Acts 16:25. Tremendous verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen.
Woo! That's miracle place.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about a character. Talk about love. Talk about service to God. What would you have done?
Amen, right?
How would you have acted? The way you complain about drivers on the road, the way you complain about other people that call you on the phone or whatever, I don't think you'd have made the mark.
Right.
But they did. They did. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. These two guys praised God and God heard them.
Amen.
He opened all the doors. Not just theirs. He opened all the doors in the prison.
Yeah.
And the jailer, knowing what sort of torture he'd get if any of the prisoners escaped, was ready to kill himself. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." How about a prison break that nobody leaves? All the prison doors are open, not just Paul and Silas. The whole jail's open, and nobody leaves.
Wow,
I'd say that's something. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He asked the right question.
Yeah.
He got to figure. He must have heard some of that praising that they were doing beforehand.
Amen.
After being whipped. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now here it is, just clear and simple as can be. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house."
Amen.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He got saved. His whole family got saved.
Amen.
He was baptized right there. In Hebrews 13:15, there's a tremendous verse. "By him," Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise."
Amen.
To God continually, that is what I'm talking about, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You ought to be known for you bragging on Jesus.
Amen.
Now you shouldn't be known for being the biggest critic in the church.
Right.
You shouldn't be known as the best fighter in the church.
Right.
You ought to be known on somebody that praises Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What must I do to be saved? How simple is it?
Amen.
Keep the commandments. Obey the law. It's not what it says.
Nope.
You see what it says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Thank you, Lord.
They spake unto him the word of the Lord. Jesus paid the debt. You didn't pay anything.
Amen.
Jesus paid the debt for you, for everything you've ever done. Every little careless word, every bit of lust, all of the anger that's been in your personality, he paid it all. He paid it all. You don't deserve to be saved. You never will deserve to be saved.
Amen.
But if you're saved, you ought to thank God you're saved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God that they broke in upon you and your prison doors opened up and you found a way out.
Right.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe he died for you and paid your debt. And accept it. Make him Lord of your life. From this day forward, I serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to be saved. That's the way to be saved. Hebrews 13:15 is a beautiful teaching on praise. By him, that's Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. You don't need to take a bull or a lamb in. You don't need to take a turtle dove in. Your money is all right, but it's not what you need.
Right.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. What comes out of your mouth? What ought to come out of your mouth?
Right.
Fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving ought to come out of your mouth.
Amen.
You know why? There's a verse in Romans why. Romans 8:28. And we know. What do we know? What do you know today? And we know that all things, good and bad alike, all things work together for good. I may not like what's happening, but God is going to turn it to good.
Amen.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you're not saved, ask God to forgive you of your sins and save your soul and thank him that Jesus died in your place.
Amen.
And paid your debt.
Amen.
If you've been a Christian walking around with all a bunch of gravel in your mouth instead of praise to God in your
Amen.
Mouth, make a change.
Amen.
Do a little bit of repenting. Make a change.
Amen.
When you come and sing these songs, I can't sing them anymore. I love them. I enjoy them. I'm having a great time while you're singing. Sing praise to God.
Amen.
Give thanks to his name. When you start to complain, think about your blessings.
Amen.
The old idea, count your many blessings. Wow.
Amen.
I have many blessings. You have too.
Amen.
You may have forgotten them.
Yes, amen.
You may be overlooking them.
Amen.
Maybe you need to research them again.
Amen.
Thank God for the many blessings you've got.
Yes, sir.
Lord, help us to become instruments of praise and thanksgiving to you.
Amen.
Watch over us if there's anyone lost listening to the sound of my voice. Lord, move upon their heart, save their souls, and change their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.